everybody will have a chance to get to NBN, Rob, in the end, because of the long-term satellite solution. So there is an NBN satellite, or NBN solution for everybody. It just will take time. And the other thing is that that is not actually mobile. That's a fixed broadband in premises. So what came through to us was the importance of actually having mobile connectivity for businesses and personal lives.
How diverse was the access to mobile coverage across Australia?
Well, 70% of Australia has no mobile coverage in terms of the land mass. And so, look, for different populations, the percentages vary. We took into account that with the new mobile black spot program, which, you know, those towers haven't been built yet, but we did factor that in, that you know, there's improvements being made. But the social benefits of mobility are quite extraordinary when you start to look at health and education, as well as business telemetry, some of the monitoring services and things, as well as emergency services. So we're also looking at corridors and how, when they go in, making sure that there's some commitment to communications as part of those infrastructure investments, so that telecommunications isn't just considered in isolation, but is seen as part of an infrastructure matrix. When we're investing in, you know, the North Australia program that's happening, well, part of that investment needs to include making sure the telecommunications infrastructure remains.
And is that about updating the universal service obligation? This is a key recommendation of the report.
It is. Look, we had a really long look at the universal service obligation and consumer safeguards. And I think one of the things that comes through is that for a lot of people in regional Australia, they're actually moving away from a landline. So people, while a lot of people are still dependent on their copper line, and that absolutely is their go-to, there are a lot of people in regional Australia who are choosing not to have a copper line or a landline. And so the protection for those people are significantly less, and there is no sort of consumer safeguards surrounding the mobile broadband and well, some of the mobile phones do, but not the broadband and connectivity. So we've made some recommendations about actually having a look at the whole package of universal service obligation, how it's funded, the arrangements between carriers, what they receive, and this is a whole piece of work that needs to be done. So we certainly didn't have the time to come up with all the solutions. That's the next piece of work. But what we've made a recommendation is that that all needs to be looked at and, in a sense, unpacked, and sort of the communications industry brought together with government around that.
And another key recommendation is that you're advocating the establishment of a new consumer communications fund that can replace the existing telecommunications industry levy. And what's that all going to do?
So what we're talking about there is about a consumer communication standard for both voice and data. So this relates to making sure we have safeguards in place. So internationally, there are some examples now where governments are saying that access to broadband is actually a right within that country. And certainly at the UN, they're saying that access to the internet is a human right as well now. So we're saying that there needs to be we recommended the development of a consumer communication standard and looking at a new fund that supports both voice and data, and that we look at the existing levies that are being paid by the telecommunications industry and government and see how they could actually better serve regional Australia particularly.
So what would your priorities be for government response to your report?
Well, we'd like all 12 recommendations, really, Robin. We're not fussy. Some of the recommendations, such as having Infrastructure Australia actually look at the existing infrastructure and capacity available, can be implemented quite seamlessly, as can when people are receiving investment funds from government that they put in telecommunications infrastructure. Some of them are very straightforward. But we have also recommended that, you know, NBN actively manage the LTSS capacity, the long-term satellite solution, that they really actively manage that and prioritise that traffic and support caching, which for those who are using that technology, they'll understand that, and that's around particularly those reliant for business and distance education. So some of those, the transparency between what is happening with NBN and that broadband rollout with satellite and the consumers is a really key piece, I think, that you know, so there's different responsibilities for different people. There's some pieces we've recommended for government. There's some pieces for NBN. There's pieces for the telecommunications industry. And really it is for people now to get involved in following this through, and we'd really like to see all 12 recommendations followed through with the Minister and implemented.
And if you go home to Kingaroy, where you've got appalling mobile service, if this report's implemented, how much better is it going to be?
Oh, that's the ironic thing, Robin, that the NBN solution for me is long-term satellite. And for someone who's exceeding her current mobile broadband data allowance every month, it's not an easy solution, and there's still some real need for improving what we've got. And this is sort of the next 3 years, and then we really need to be measuring what's happening so that we've got benchmark data and that we can look for some increments. But there is no quick fix for people like me either.